to speak to you from the sixth chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. There is a thought in my heart regarding the old and the new year that I'd like to share with you. I feel it as a real burden, and I trust that the Lord will bless it to all of our hearts. In Galatians chapter 6, we read in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." One of the oldest, the most common, and the most inevitable experience in life from the very beginning of human history has been that of sowing and reaping. I've often enjoyed that part of the covenant that God made with Noah that you have in the closing verses of Genesis chapter 8, in which we have God assuring man that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, would continue as long as the earth stood. Now that's true in the natural realm. We know that. We know that spring has been followed by summer. Summer has been followed by autumn or fall. And that has been followed, inevitably, by the winter. Once again, the cycle is repeated. We know that has been true, I say, in the natural realm. And we're also well aware of the fact that one of the most inevitable things is that where there's sowing, there is bound to be reaping. The measure of that reaping, of course, is another matter. But what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. I believe that our life can be likened to those four seasons that are referred to by God in making the covenant with Noah. There is the springtime, the time of sowing, and that has always appealed to me as being the time of our youth. That's the time when we sow. Then there comes the summer, which is the growing time, and that refers, I feel, to the more mature years, when we enter out, when we leave youth behind us, and we enter into that more mature stage of life in which there is real, genuine growth. That inevitably is followed, if life continues, by the fall, the time of reaping. And that, in due time, with many cases, but not all, by the winter of more extreme age. And each one of these has its particular opportunities and responsibilities and beauties. Spring has a beauty, and so has youth. Summer has a beauty, and so have the mature years. Fall has a beauty, and so has early old age. Winter has a beauty, and so has extreme old age. Now, some like spring better than fall. Some like summer better than winter. And others prefer it in another order. That is simply a matter of personal like and dislike. But certainly there is in each one a beauty. There is a beauty about youth. But there's a beauty about maturity. that youth doesn't have. The face that has no lines on it is not a face of experience. It lacks the character that only experience can develop. But I want to move on, and I want us to think of life in its entirety as a time of sowing and reaping. For I believe that can be of tremendous help to us as we look back over the past, as we look on into the future. Just as inevitably as fall comes after spring and summer, so inevitably reaping is going to follow sowing. And because of that, as God reminds us here in these words, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now if you look at that from one angle, it's very solid. Very solid. When you look at it from another angle, it's very encouraging. It's serious. It's solemn to realize that everything that is sown wrong is going to be reaped. I am sorry. I say this kindly. I say it carefully. I say it lovingly. I'm sorry for today's rising generation. I'm sorry. They've got a terrible reaping ahead. I'm 64 years old. I've seen sowing, and I've seen reaping for over 60 years now. I know whereof I come. And I'm sorry. I'm burdened. My heart is heavy when I think of the awful reaping many young people are going to have when they become parents. It makes me shudder sometimes. When I see the things that are done, the things that are said, the acts that are committed, I shudder. For I know the reaping is coming. I'm wondering what kind of children those drug addicts are going to put into this world. What are they going to be like? What's their mind going to be like? What's their bodies going to be like? What will their spirits be like? And those who have, in their thoughtless youth, flaunted all authority and all restraint, what's going to happen to them when the next generation starts to treat them the way they've treated their parents? That's the solemn sign. You can't sow and not reap. But there's an encouraging sign. And actually, when you look at these verses, the Spirit of God is leading you from the encouraging side. That's why we're encouraged to continue to do good to all men as we have opportunity, because there'll be a reaping from that. Now I want to, just in a few moments, I want to remind you of a few ways in which you can sow. Some bad, some good. There is a sowing sensually. We were reading in this 8th verse, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now the flesh is that old, fallen, Adamic nature that's in every child of Adam's race. And there are certain appetites and desires connected with that old nature that are absolutely depraved. And we are living in a world that increasingly everything in it appeals to the baser appetites of the flesh. Sight. Song. Even the songs of the world. A few decades past, had something of moral strength to them. Today, the songs of the world are rotten to the core. They do nothing but stir up the basest appetites of a fallen nature. Well, I'm old enough to be able to talk plain, and that's just exactly what I'm doing. The sights and the sounds and the smells. Name to me, give me the names of the 6 most popular perfumes in America. What do those titles tell you? We have been manufactured to entice you. And so it's possible. And tragically, there are multitudes that are sowing sensually. They're just sowing a terrible harvest to the basest, lowest, most degraded appetite of the flesh. And the old standards of moral decency and married honor are laughed at, but not by God. Remember this, God hasn't lowered his standard one iota since the book was written in the first century. But it's possible not only to sow sensually, it's possible to sow selfishly and still be sowing to the flesh. And there are those who refuse to lower their moral standards. Yes, there are still those who refuse to sell their moral purity. But it's still possible to sow to the flesh by sowing selfishly. Because you see, the flesh is really self. And if my whole life, it just revolves around I, me, my, and mine, that's sowing to the flesh. And if my life is self-centered and just revolves around me, that is sowing selfishly to the flesh, not thinking of others. I'm amazed today at the utter, undiluted selfishness of people. Now you can talk to me till you're blue in the face about how much they give to charity and all of that. Listen, the only thing is it's publicized a whole lot more today than history. There always have been those who reached in their pocket and given money, but they didn't make the front page. And any little thing is done now. I read about a group, and they actually washed cars and made $45 and gave it to the poor. Isn't that amazing? Staggering. And a group a few years ago would raise a couple of hundred and never say a thing about it. But now it's paraded all over the paper. But you just have to look around and you'll see so many living utterly selfish lives. You see that person on a crowded street driving up there and parking right across that parking line and taking two spaces and getting out and dashing into the store, you'd think it was Lady So-and-so. No lady in my book. What's right? Absolutely self. There's no thought of anyone else. Now that's sowing to the flesh. And that's going to bring a terrible reap. A terrible reap. But it's possible to rise even higher. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, we read this. He that soweth sparingly. Now you may not be living for the flesh. You may not be living selfishly. But let me ask you, dear, as you look back over 1971 that's almost gone, have you sowed sparingly? How much of your time have you given to us? How much of your strength have you given to us? How much of your money have you given to us? How many jobs have you volunteered for? What have you done right here in this chapter? Just as little as you could? Well, remember, he that soweth sparing shall reap sparing. And so it's possible while we avoid that which looks outwardly wrong, it's so terribly possible for us just to be sowing so sparingly, doing so little. You know this word sparingly here? It's really that kind of ugly word, stingy. Stingy. Have we been stingy with our time for others? When you were asked to do something in this assembly, were you so busy? Doing what? Listening to Gunsmoke? I think that's on the TV. I don't know. I've lived too busy a life. I haven't even got time. I don't. I was in a barber shop one time and they were talking about some, apparently he's a very popular TV show. Never heard of him in my life. And they looked at me as though I just landed from Mars. I've never heard of him. Who in the world is he? And I couldn't care less. Said, don't you look at TV? I said, maybe once a year or so. If there's something particularly interesting, maybe I do. I've got too much to do for eternity to spend my time looking at that stuff. Is that why you haven't had time to do things for God? You had to get home for the late show? Isn't that what they've got on late? Is that why you missed prayer meeting? You say, that's my business. Yes, it is. And it'll be your business when at the judgment seat of Christ is a little handful of reaping when there could have been so much more. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But now, let's think of the brighter side, because just a minute or two, there's the right side of sowing spiritual. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing to the flesh? Corruption. What is corruption? It's the breaking down that is integrated. You ask me why lives are breaking up today? They've been sowing to the flesh. I've watched it. The Bible's been closed. And the novel's been open. The hymn book's been closed. And the worldly song book has been open. The prayer meeting's been attended. Been unattended. And the TV has occupied Wednesday night. Watch out. That life is breaking down. You ask me why homes are breaking down? I've never been called in yet to help in marital troubles, and I've been called in hundreds of them. I've never been called in yet where they weren't out of touch with God. Not one. Because when you walk in fellowship with God, your home stays together. When you get away from God, it begins to break. You sow to the flesh, and you'll reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit. Go in for the things of God, and you reap everlasting life. Life in all its fullness, all its wonders. Oh, that it might captivate us as we pass from the one year into the new. May we realize what a wonderful opportunity you and I have, brothers and sisters, because we're saved by the grace of God, we can sow things that will abide for all eternity. Things that won't end when you die. Things that won't perish with the using. Things that won't terminate when you're off the scene. But things that will go on and on and on and on and on for all eternity. Oh, that we could just catch afresh the wonderful possibilities of our Christian life. Sowing to the Spirit. And that will be sowing successful. There's so much to be said about that, but I do think. But I do hope that enough has been said to make every one of us ask God. Wherein I have failed in 1971, wherein I've been sowing the wrong thing in the wrong way, oh God help me as I move into 72 in a short time. Help me to make it a year of sowing for the glory of God. Do you ask me if there's any way to avoid reaping what you sow? I don't know. I don't know, thank you. Maybe God can teach us or would teach us something from the natural sphere. If you discover you have sown the wrong seed in your garden, what do you do? Well, I think the very first thing you would do, you'd make every attempt to eradicate. You would stop sowing. And you'd make every attempt to eradicate. If you and I have been sowing the wrong thing in 71, may God give us grace tonight to say this is the end. That's coming out of my life. It's not of God. It's not a blessing. It's coming out of my life. And then begin to sow what is wrong. And as we do, we will reap if we faint not. Brethren and sisters, the time is short. Not only for those of us who have spent most of our life, but for all of us. If ever I believe the Lord's coming is near, I believe it now. I look around, I listen, I read, I go back into my study and I open my Bible and I begin to read and I say, Lord Jesus, I can almost hear your footfall on the threshold of the door and my heart is longing to be with thee evermore. I don't expect to die. I'm ready for it. If God is pleased at any moment, I'm ready to go. I don't expect to die. I expect to hear that call come up here. And I would like, by the grace of God, to finish my life solely what will be to God's eternal glory. And encouraging other people to do the same. God bless. But as we look back over 71, if it has been a year of wrong thought, God help us before we leave here tonight to rededicate ourselves to God in such a way that 72 will be a year of sowing such as we have never experienced before. That's the wonderful thing about God's work. You know, a child can take a seed and drop it in the ground, and eventually a mighty oak
will grow where the child dropped the seed. An old man, tottering on his cane, can carry a handful of seed and cast it in the right place, and in due time there'll be a beautiful flower garden. You're never too young. You're never too old. And so, things of God. Brothers and sisters, let's ask God to make 72 the best year for His glory they've ever had. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we realize in a little measure when we get home to glory and with the mists of earth brushed from our eyes that all the false values and wrong standards of this world forever left behind. We'll realize then, Lord, how foolish we were in a lot of our souls. But help us, oh God, help us to correct what we see to be wrong now, that we may not be ashamed before our Lord at His coming. Now bless as we enjoy a time of happy fellowship together. Bless, we pray thee, and bless the food we shall partake of. We thank thee for thine abundant provision for our temporal needs, Lord, as we think of hungry multitudes. How bountifully thou hast blessed us here in America. And so we take once again a bountiful provision of food from thy good hand, and ask thou wilt bless it too. In the moments that lie before us, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.